Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
All right, so if you are as you say you are, then why don't you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 13. So for those of you who don't know, let me just help you guys out. Exodus is the second book in the Bible. It's right after Genesis, so you don't have to go all the way to the end or in the middle or go to the table of contents. It's just the second book in the Bible. It's right there in front of you. It's easy to find the book of Exodus. You know, Exodus is a very interesting and powerful book. I love Exodus because I'm a person that loves history. And so Exodus, it's a book that details and records Israel's history in their early years. It's such a powerful, interesting book because it also has so many great life lessons. So let me just encourage you, if you've never had the chance to read the book of Exodus, make time and read it. It's really, really, really cool. And Exodus draws its name from the main event that happens in this book, which is the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt. And that's where the whole name of Exodus comes from. Now, we see when we read the book of Exodus that the Israelites were living in Egypt as slaves, and they had lived as slaves for a period of 400 years. They suffered greatly at the hands of the Egyptians. You know, they were working hard, they were being bitten, you know, people were dying. It was just such a hectic time for Israelites. Imagine being slaves in a foreign land for a period of 400 years. So at this point, the Israelites, they felt and it seemed as if like God had abandoned them, that God had forgotten about them. But that was not the case. God had not forgotten about them. It's just that sometimes, you know, in life, things don't necessarily happen in the timelines that we expect them to. Because sometimes we want God to work according to our timelines, but that's not how God works. So even though it felt as if that they were forgotten, that they were abandoned, God did not abandon them. And the same thing is true for us today. God does not abandon us. I want you to tell your neighbor, God does not abandon us. God loves us too much to abandon us. And so even though it felt for them that they were abandoned, it was not true. Because eventually, God decided to send help. He decided to send someone in the name of Moses to go and deliver the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Now, God sent Moses to go to talk to Pharaoh and ask Pharaoh to let the people go. But of course, Pharaoh was so hard-headed and he was like, you know what, I'm not ready to let these people go. So he and Moses had a back and forth. Eventually, God was like, you know what, I ain't got no time to deal with this. And so then God sent the 10 plagues against Egypt. And so many people died, so many cattle, you know, died. There was so much ruin during the 10 plagues. Eventually, Pharaoh was like, you know what, okay, God, I get the point. I'm going to let your people go. Your people can live out of Egypt. And what's even interesting is that they didn't leave empty-handed. They were even given, like, you know, cattle, they were given things to go with. You know, they left with so many things from Egypt going to their promised land. And this is where now we find Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. It continues the story after now Pharaoh agreed to let the people go. And this is what the Bible says. Verse 17, Exodus chapter 13. That when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them. Everybody say, God led them. God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Now Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, God will certainly come to help you. But when he does, you must take my bones with you from this place. So the Israelites left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. Then the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. Heavenly Father, I pray that God, you will speak to us through your word this morning. Father, I pray that you use me as your vessel this morning to bring your word to your people. And Father, I pray that this word will transform or touch somebody's heart in here, God. and that, Father, it will help them, Lord, in their journey with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. So the title of my message this morning is Divine Detours. Divine Detours. Everybody say Divine Detours.
Divine Detours.
Yes, Divine Detours. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a type of person who loves shortcuts, okay? I want to take, you know, the shortest road to get me to a place that I want to get to. And I don't necessarily mean taking shortcuts in life, because I'm a firm believer in working hard and earning your stripes, but I mean taking shortcuts, particularly when I'm driving on the road, and if you're living in the city of Dar es Salaam with the crazy traffic, you know, because the shortcuts are convenient, they save you time, and at least for a person like me, they help to reduce my road rage. Now, I must confess, as the Bible says, you know, confess your sins to one another. So I must confess that I have a serious road rage that the Lord is still delivering me from. So please do not judge me. That's just the truth. You know, the Lord is still working on me. He's not done with me yet. You know, but I love shortcuts because they're just so easy. They're so convenient. I get where I want to get to in a short period of time. Now, it also doesn't help that we live in a day and age where patience is no longer a virtue. You know, we don't want to wait. We don't like waiting. We don't like to have to spend time to do something. We want things done super fast. We want things quickly. You know, we want God to make things happen for us real, real quick. And so that way, you know, our life is accustomed to things getting done quickly. And so we want the shortcuts to everything. For instance, these days, if you feel like, you know what, you don't have the time or you don't have the energy or the patience to read an entire book, you can go to the internet and you can find book summaries for busy people. And so they basically, you know, summarize the book for you. They give you a gist of the book, and so you don't have to read the entire book, so you'd read it in a short period of time. But the sad part about that is that you are getting to read just someone's opinion and their thoughts of what suited for them in that book. But perhaps had you taken the time to read the book for yourself, there were other gems that were in there that would have spoken to you or that would have been relevant to you. And so when you read the summary, you don't get the full picture of the book. But of course, we don't have the time, and I'd rather get the general gist, so I'd rather read the book summary. We don't have the time to be paid. We don't have the time to wait, right? Or there are those of us who are trying to learn maybe new skills. You know, you're like, you know what, yeah, I need to up my education, I need to up my game. But you know what, I feel like I just don't have the patience nor the time to go to uni for 3 or 4 years. So you know what? I'm gonna go to YouTube University, okay? YouTube University will give me tutorials and I'll be able to learn things in a short period of time. And I know in here there's so many people who are graduates of YouTube University. It's so convenient and it just helps for you to learn stuff quickly and for a short period of time. Now, this is how we tend to operate on a day-to-day basis. We love shortcuts, we love short things, we love to get to our destinations early, you know, we just want convenient stuff. And so we tend to now place the same philosophy on God as well. You know, we want God to also be a shortcut God. We want God to give us our promises now. We want God to answer our prayers now. We want God to get us there quickly, you know, through the quickest way possible. We don't have the patience to wait. We want quick promotions. We want quick answers. Everything has to happen instantly. But if you are a believer like me, and if you've been in this journey for a minute, I'm sure by now you know and you've realized that, you know what, God doesn't necessarily operate like that. You know, God isn't always a shortcut God. As much as we want God to be a 0 to 100 real quick God, he doesn't always operate like that. And even scripture tells us the same thing. So in the passage that we just read, the Bible tells us that when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road, which was actually the shortest route to the promised land. But instead, God led them in a roundabout way, which was the longer route, causing them to cross the desert towards the Red Sea. Now, let's just freeze there for a moment. I mean, there was a short route to take them from Egypt to the promised land. As a matter of fact, you know, many Bible scholars say that this route would have actually taken them a couple of days to get there. But instead, God decided to take them on a detour towards the desert and through the Red Sea to get to the promised land, which actually ended up taking them 40 years to get there. Imagine a couple of days versus 40 years. God could have led them on a short route, but God led them via the long route, which took them 40 years. Now, when I was reading this, I was like, okay, God, why? Like, this is crazy. Like, this doesn't make sense. Considering everything they've been through, considering how much they've suffered, how much they've been waiting for you to deliver them, why would you then now take them through a long route to the promised land as opposed for them to go through a short route because they're already tired? You know, and those are the questions that sometimes we also tend to ask ourselves, that, okay, God, why are you taking a long time? You know, God, why? Why do I have to go through this, you know, for such a long period of time? Why can't we just make it happen real quick? Why can't it happen fast? And if it's the same thing with these guys, I'm sure they were wondering, like, why? You know, why do we have to go through the long route while there's a short route over there? But here's the reason why. The reason is God knew that the Israelites were not ready. He knew that they were not ready to face the battles that lay ahead. And so God, to save them and to protect them, he decided that, you know what, I am going to lead you guys towards a long route, which is much more safer, even though it's longer. But even in that process, I will work on you to prepare you to be ready for what's going to come next eventually. You see, God knew something about the Israelites that they didn't even know about themselves. God knew that they were weak. Because imagine, these people were slaves. They had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. So by the time that they were now leaving Egypt to go to the promised land, they were beat down, they were tired, their morale was low, they were worn out. And so God knew that they were not ready. They didn't have the energy, nor did they have the stamina to be able to deal with any battle that they were going to face. As a matter of fact, God said that, you know what, I know if they encounter any trouble, these people are going to turn back and go back to Egypt to being slaves. So God, you see, God just cared so much about them. In his infinite wisdom, he knew something about them that they didn't even know. But also in addition to that, God knew that in the shortest route, there was going to be battle and there's going to be war that they didn't even know. Because they were going to cross the Philistine territory, and the Philistines were like bad those days. These guys were like warriors. And so if the Israelites were going to cross through their territory, they were going to attack. And so the Israelites were not ready. And so God is like, you know what? I will just take you guys through the roundabout way because I know where you are right now. You are not ready. And church, it's the same thing with us. Because the truth is, there is nobody in this world who knows you better than God. Not even you know you better than God. And so God knows the things that you can handle and the things that you can't handle. God knows what you can carry and what you can handle emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. God knows. He knows what you can handle and what you can't handle. And so God is not going to give you something prematurely, something that you are not ready for. Because God doesn't want to set you up for failure. That's not his goal and that's not his purpose. And so if it means for God to take you through a long route to get you there so as to prepare you for it, God is going to do that because that's the best thing for you. You know, sometimes the shortest route or the convenient route is not always the easiest route as you think it is. And so because God knows what is best for us, God decides that, you know what, I'm going to take you through a long route. And that's what he did for the Israelites. And he does for us the same thing today. So sometimes for us to move from point A to point B, it may take us longer than we would expect. Point A being where we are now and point B being where we want to be. It may take us longer than we expect to, but sometimes it's for our own good. And God will do that to protect us, and God will do that to develop us and prepare us for what lies ahead. Because perhaps ahead of us there is a battle that we can't even see. Because you see, God stands at a vantage point where he can see things that you and I can't see. What may look to us as a very straight, you know, road, God sees the battles that are there. He sees the wars that you're going to have to fight. He sees the obstacles. He sees the things. And he's like, you know what, my son or my daughter, you are not ready for what lies ahead. So I'm not going to get you through that road. Let's take, for example, that maybe you've been working for this company or this organization for quite some time now. You know, you've been such a hard worker. You've been diligent. You deliver your work on time. You're excellent. You make good money for this company or organization. And so, of course, as you think about your future with this company, you're like, yeah, you know what, I'm eyeing for that senior role. And I believe that once that role opens up, I think I'd be the best candidate for that role. I think I would, I should definitely get that role because I'm a hard worker. But things happen, the role opens up, and you know what? You don't get it, your colleague does. And when you look at things in reality, though, you're like, wait a minute, but I work harder than she does. I'm always here on time, and she's not. You know, I'm always putting in the hours, I'm putting in the work more than he or she does. So why did they get the promotion and why not me? And then we begin to get upset, we get frustrated, we grumble against God. You know, we're so mad at the world, we're mad at everyone. And so much so that we're like, you know what, yeah, God, you know, you're not faithful, you're not good. You know, you say that you're good, but you're not good because you didn't give me this promise, because God, you promised me the promotion. And probably even during that time, there was a Christian brother or sister who prayed for you and told you that you'll get that promotion, that it's yours, you know, but it didn't happen. And so you're like, you know what, God, so everybody in the church is a liar. Those Christians are liars. So God, I'm not even going to go back to the ocean. I'm going to find me another church that are going to tell me something that is true. But little do you know that the reason why God did not give you that promotion is because he knows that perhaps somebody that you're going to be reporting to is going to be somebody who is not for you, somebody who doesn't like you for some weird reason, somebody who's going to be unhappy with your promotion, you know, somebody who is threatened by you. And so this person will do everything in their power to try to sabotage you, to minimize your promotion, to challenge you, you know, in a negative way, and to even set you up for failure, so much so that you might end up getting fired. And God knows that at this point in your life, if you were to meet that person, if you were to engage in a battle with that person, he knows that you do not have the emotional bandwidth to deal with it. And so God is like, you know what? I'm not going to give you the promotion for your own good, because I know the battles that lie ahead and you're not ready for that battle. Or perhaps when God looks at you, he sees that, you know what? You don't have the needed skills for that role. You think you do. But you see, God is like, you know what? I know the type of skills that are going to be needed in that role eventually at some point that you're not even aware of. And so God takes you on a detour to develop your skills, to groom you, to prepare you for that role. Because he knows that you are not ready for that role. And so God takes you through that entire journey so as to grow you and prepare you for that particular role. But we don't see that. But you see, that right there, that's the right perspective we need to have. Or let's say, for instance, for my single brothers and my single sisters. You know, you've been single for a while now, and when you look around you, all your friends are booed up or they're getting married, and you are always the groomsman but never the groom. You're always the bridesmaid but never the bride. And you're like, okay, God, what is happening? What is going on with me? Is it that I'm not cute enough? Is it that I'm not spiritual enough? Is it that I'm not lovable? Is it that I'm not worthy to be loved? Like, what is going on? When you look in your life, it seems like you have such a hard time to find the right person. It's either people just seem to walk in and walk out of your life, or when you find that person that you like, they keep friend zoning you, or perhaps, you know, people don't even look at you, or maybe the person that you think is a potential person is just not ready to commit. So there's always something that is wrong. And you're like, okay, God, what is happening? You know, what is going on with me? And then you start getting depressed. You start getting frustrated. And you're then now tempted to compromise and lower your standards so that you can at least catch something. Because you're frustrated and because you're depressed. But little do you know that the reason why God has taken you through this long season of singleness is because he knows that the person he's bringing to you currently needs some time to work out a few things and to resolve some character issues, so that when he brings the two of you together, your marriage will be secure and joyful instead of troubled and tentative. Little do you know that perhaps you're the one with the issues, that God needs to work on you, that God needs to prepare you for that person. You know, perhaps you're still emotionally immature. You're still carrying baggage for days from your previous relationships. You are manipulative. You are impatient. You are not resilient. So at the slightest sight of troubles in the relationship, you're going to run away. And so God is like, you know what? I cannot bring you this person right now because you're going to mess everything up. So to protect you, I am not going to give you this person. I will let you still wander in the season of singleness so that I can prepare you for that person. So that when he or she comes, you'll be able to carry this person. But I'm not going to give you this person prematurely because you're going to ruin it for yourself. You know? And so that's perspective. That's the perspective that we as believers need to have. Because truth is, church, not all delays are from the devil. Because sometimes as believers, we tend to have this thing where we blame everything on the devil. You know, like, oh yeah, the reason why I'm not in a relationship is because the devil is like stopping me. You know, the reason why, you know, I don't get this promotion is because of the devil. And so then you start casting demons, you know, you start doing all of these things. But all this time, it's just God trying to protect you for your own good. It's just God taking you through a longer route to prepare you so that he can be able to fulfill the purpose the right way in your life. Because God loves you and I too much to give us something prematurely because we're going to ruin it and we're going to destroy it. And so God will take you through that long route for a purpose to prepare you for what lies ahead. So church, when we find things are not happening as fast and as quick as we'd like them to, we need to be patient. Let us learn to be patient and realize that God is not doing this to be mean to us. No, God is doing this to prepare us and to develop us. This is for our own good. And I get it, that the desert is dry, it's uncomfortable, and it's an unknown experience. But it might just be exactly what you and I need in order to be protected from what lies ahead, that we have no idea or are not even prepared for. And I must admit, church, I'm not going to sit here and pretend and say that, you know what, the desert, you know, the wilderness journey and the detours in life are easy. They're not. The detours are hard, so hard. And it's mainly because detours involve canceling of the known and moving into the unknown. And it is here in the unknown, it is here in the wilderness where most of us get discouraged. It's here where it feels like we're not making any progress, and so we become disheartened. And at times, we even begin to doubt whether God really gave us that promise or that vision. You know, we begin to think maybe that was never God's goal to begin with. Maybe that was my idea. We begin to think that, well, you know what? Maybe I just sucked myself because I wanted that thing so badly. You know, maybe it was never God's dream. Maybe it was never God's vision. Maybe it was never God's heart to begin with. Maybe that's my dream and not God's dream for me. But church, that's not the truth. Sometimes that very thing, it is what God wants you to do. That very thing is for you, but you just have to wait a little bit longer. Just because God has not delivered it right now, it doesn't mean it's a no. It means it's a not yet. Because God is preparing you so that you can be able to be ready to carry that thing once it lands in your hands. So church, we need to learn to be patient. Let us learn to wait. I get it that, you know, we live at a time where patience is not a virtue, but we need to wait because God doesn't want you to be a half-baked person. He doesn't want you to be half-cooked. He wants you to be fully baked because it's for your own good. It's for my own good. And so, church, I'm here to encourage you this morning. Do not give up on that dream. Do not give up on that vision or that promise, because be assured that even though it's taking a while for you to get there, God is with you along the way. You're not alone in the wilderness. God is with you along the way. And I'm saying this not as if it's like some motivational talk, but this is actually a reality. It's true. God is with you in the wilderness. God is with you in those detours of life. You know, God is with you in that journey. You are not alone. And even scripture tells us that. It tells us that the Lord went ahead of the Israelites while they were in the wilderness. He guided them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to give them light. And what's even more awesome is that this pillar never, ever left its place in front of the people. The pillar never left its place in front of the people. This pillar, church, was the presence of God. This was God telling them which way to go. The pillar was protecting them. The pillar was guiding them. The pillar was giving them light. The pillar gave them everything that they need in that journey in the wilderness. And it never left its place in front of them. And it's the same thing with us today. God's presence is with us. Even in the wilderness of life, even in the deserts of life, even through the detours, God's presence is with us. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and that's God's presence with us. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17, this was Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, advocate, intercessor, a counselor, strengthener, a standby, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. Amen. What a beautiful reality. And I just love how the Amplified Bible puts it, you know, because it goes on to describe the Holy Spirit as our helper, our comforter, our advocate, counselor, strengthener, and that he is in us and remains with us continually. So we have the presence of God with us everywhere we go. Even in our journey in the wilderness, we are not alone. God is with us. And you see, each and every one of us receives the Holy Spirit the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then bam, he's stamped upon our lives. And so we have that assurance that, you know what, even though right now I feel like I'm in a season of dryness, even though right now I feel like, you know, it's really, really dry out here, but you know what, I'm not alone. Even though it hurts, you know, that I'm not getting that promotion, but you know what, I'm not alone because God is with me. It's not over yet. It's not over until when God says it's over. You know, even though it seems like it's not looking like I'm going to get there, I am going to get there because God promised that he's going to be with me always to the end of the ages, that he's not going to leave me alone, that I'm not forsaken, that I'm not forgotten, that God will never leave me. God is with me. His presence goes before me to guide me. And it's this truth that can help you and I to get through the wilderness season of our lives, because we know that we are neither forsaken nor forgotten, so it is not over. Church, it's not over. Don't give up. And what's awesome is that being under God's guidance assures us that we're gonna be protected. That even though the road may be tough, even though there may be rough terrains, but we're gonna be fine, we're gonna be protected because God is guiding us. Because you see, we are like little children. We don't know what's good for us. We may think we do know what's good for us, but we don't know what's good for us, but God does. And so if we make our own choices and force our own way, we might end up getting burned. And God doesn't want that. God wants us to let him lead us. And God will lead us to our promised land in one piece if we'd only just trust him. If we'd only just trust the process and surrender the process to him, and that would let him lead us and guide us. And the truth is, at some point, each and every one of us will go through a wilderness experience. And it's going to look different for different people. But we will all go through the detours of life. That's guaranteed. You know, I don't want to stand here and lie to you that just because you're a believer or just because you're a Christ follower that things are going to be smooth for you all the way till the end. No. You know, we are all going to go through the detours of life. We're all going to go through the wilderness experiences. But what's most important is the fact that even in those detours, we're not alone. That God is with us. So we will get through it. We will make it. We will get there eventually, even though it hurts now temporarily, but I will eventually get there because God is guiding me, because God is leading me. And that this divine detour is for me. It's not working against me. It's for my favor, because I do not see the trouble that lies ahead, but God does see it. And so God is going to lead me to my promise in one piece. And sometimes what we fail to understand is that in these wilderness experiences, this is where God teaches us the needed lessons. This is where God challenges us, where God reveals more of himself to us and refines our faith in him. So we just have to trust God and trust the process. Trust the process. Even though it doesn't make sense, just remember that Daddy knows best. He knows what is best for you and I. And at the end of the day, he will make sure that you get to where he wants you to be. Church, believe me when I tell you, God will never leave you nor forsake you. That God will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you all the way. He's walking with you. You know, his presence goes before you until you get to where he needs you to get. You know, so don't give up. Do not fear or do not be discouraged, for the Lord is with you. And he will bring you to his land and usher you into victory. So do not give up, church. Do not give up. Trust God. Trust that he knows what's best for you. Trust that he knows the plan. Trust that he's got you. Trust that he cares for you more than anybody in this world, because that's the truth. Trust that he wants the best for you more than anybody in this world, because that's the truth. And so if God leads you through a detour, even if it may seem like your life is taking a detour and it's taking you a longer time to get to where you need to get, just trust him. Trust him. And take time to figure out what lessons am I supposed to draw out of this season. So don't waste your season in the wilderness. Don't waste it. Take this time to actually discover and figure out what is it that God wants me to learn. Because there's so many lessons that you can get in the wilderness that will help you where you're going to go to next. So church, let us change our perspectives. Because divine detours are not working against us, but divine detours sometimes are for us. Let us pray. Jesus, I pray that you enable us to walk faithfully in this journey with you. That no matter where we are, God, I pray that we would not give up on the dream or the vision or the promise that you've given us. Help us, God, to see that detour is for us and it's not working against us. Give us the faith, oh God, to trust you in that season of wilderness. Help us, Heavenly Father, to trust that you are working with us and that you are walking with us. Help us, God, to begin to see things the way that you see them, God. And that is, you are for us. In Jesus' name I pray.